quick. How many have ever watched that show Alone? You know what I'm talking about, Alone? No, you don't watch shows Alone. It's a show called Alone. You guys know what I'm talking about? Isn't it called Alone? And there's another one, what is it called, where they drop you off somewhere on an island? There's another one, though. What? Oh, I've never watched that one. But Alone is where they drop you off, and I think they get on some crazy island, and you're by yourself, obviously, you're alone. And if you survive, how many days is it? I should have looked it all up. I don't know. We had some family come with us. Oh, that's what it is. Whoever survives the longest. So we had some family members come, and we were trying to find something to watch, you know, in the nighttime. We don't have a lot of things we watch. We kind of watch Andy Griffith and Gilligan's Island over and over again, and Lucy. We're kind of old school. But we were trying to find something to entertainment night. We were watching Alone. And that show, they drop these people off on this island. I think they have 10 things they're allowed to have to survive. And Braden kept saying, Poppy, you could do this show. I think you win like $500,000. His two contestants were Poppy and Larry. Poppy and Larry could do this show. They could win $500,000 or $1 million. Maybe Daniel, probably. I don't know if you're allowed to take guns or knives, though. I made 10 things, so. Anyways, my point is they drop you off in this place, and you're supposed to survive, and it drives me crazy. I can't watch that show, because after about 5-10 days, they start whining. I'm not good with whiners. I'm not a good coddler, and they start wanting to be with their family. Oh, I just miss my family, and my wife and my kids, and they're not thinking about that $500,000, you know, or $1 million or whatever it is, and then they start, all of a sudden they get really emotional, and their belly starts talking to them. I'm just so hungry. And they have opportunities to go fishing. That's why my kids think you could survive. They can fish, they can hunt, you know, they can trap rabbits and whatever else is in the wild out there, snakes or whatever, and cook it over the open fire. And I'm thinking, anybody could do anything for, you know, 30 days for $1 million, right? It just keeps going and keeps going. And they video themselves at night in their tent, and they're just wah, 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 wah. They're just going on and on. I'm so lonely. Well, that's my point. Don't get to my point ahead of time. So they're going on and on about all this stuff. And, I can't stand even thinking about it. It makes me crazy. But they're just going on, and, you know, I just need more food, and I can tell my body. And they start talking about all these technical terms about their chemical balance and what their body's doing and all these things. And I'm thinking, you're focusing on it. You quit talking about it. You're talking about the problem. You're focusing on it. And it's zapping you of your strength and your power. You have the ability. You're in open air. Get out and do something. You know, I'm like, you've been given an opportunity to win $1 million. Pretend that it's yours when you get out there. And pretend that all these compromises, these things that are coming at you, are ways of them taking it away from you. I kind of think the opposite way about it. And so, you know, they compromise in their thinking by allowing all these thoughts to come in, and then these thoughts are turning into words, and then these words turn into their destiny. And before you know it, I got to call the boat, or I got to call the plane and come get me. You know, I just can't take it another day. And, you know, in the beginning, they're like these warrior women and men. They're because it's men and women, you can go. And I'm not saying I could do it. I'm not saying I could do it, because I don't know all the things to live out in the wild. But just the mentality is what I'm referring to the most here. Just the compromise in what they're thinking about and what they're setting their mind on and what they're focusing on. And it's like a table of compromise. All they focus on all day long is what they don't have instead of what they do have. You know, the word talks about to set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Because when we set our mind on things above, it helps us focus on what we have. When we set our mind on what we have here, on things below, it makes us compromise, and we start thinking about what we don't have or what the enemy's trying to steal from us. Because we do have everything we need pertaining to life and godliness because of who we are in Christ. He's given us everything. Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. So we have it all. I think if we could shift our thinking, instead of thinking, well, I need to get this, I need to get peace, I need to get joy, I need to get, no, that's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. That's in me already. It just needs to come out of me, right? It's not something I'm trying to gain. It's something that needs to come out of me based on how I'm living and what I'm focused on, right? And so that's kind of what I see with this alone show. It's like, go be dropped off on an island with your 10 things and pretend that you have $1 million and all these thoughts are stealing your money from you, for your goal. It's a goal, right? All these thoughts are stealing your goal. And what I want to talk to us tonight about is no compromise, because we've been given everything we need in this life. And the enemy, his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's all about. And so what I see is that when we start compromising in our thinking and we compromise in what we're saying, those are open doors for him to come in and have his way in our life. How many are believing God for healing? How many are believing God for finances? How many are believing God for relational things, jobs, whatever it is, those areas? How many want to be a bigger giver? I do. I want to be so blessed that I can be a blessing. I can walk in the grocery store and somebody have a $200 bill and I say, move out of the way, let me take care of it. Not because I'm being a big dog, but because I want to help somebody. I want to bless somebody. That's my heart. And that should be our heart as Christians, is to help somebody. We want to, listen, guys. Somebody told me this, and it blessed me so much last week. Somebody that I travel with said they live in California. They just built a house. And someone, I'm not going to say any names, someone offered to pay for their house payment for a year. A year. Now, in California, I would imagine a house payment is more than $1,000 or even $2,000, especially on a house they just built. And this person was telling me in the first month that they paid it, they gave him an extra $500. In the second month they paid it, they gave him an extra $1,000. Now, I want you to just take the lid off of your brain and start thinking a little bit different about increase, because we're supposed to be so blessed that we can be a blessing like that to somebody else. Not that we just consume it ourselves, but that we're able to give and bless somebody else and it changes their life. And I know what's happening with this person, I see it in their life. It's enabling them to do some things in the ministry. I don't want to be too specific because we're online, but I see what's happening in the ministry. It's enabling them to do some things it's in their heart to do, and it's keeping their family together. That's God. That's a no compromise life. That's where we need to be with our finances. I'm just kind of hitting that point because it's coming to me, but I want to talk to us about the table of compromise. You know, I heard this story about a war movie where there was an incident where the two sides came together and they said, we're going to decide, you know, who's going to compromise. Because one was winning and one was losing. And the winner is usually the one that has more cards on the table, right? The loser is the one who loses and doesn't have any way of moving forward. He has to compromise, right? The loser compromises. We're not losers. We're winners. We're more than conquerors. We're great. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have all that we need in Christ. Amen. And we don't have to compromise what he has blessed us with healing, with provision, with relationships, with our joy, with our peace, with our children. We live a no compromise life. Amen. I know Pastor Steve Hill, he used to do this with Hayden a lot, but probably all of our kids. But he'll take one of our kids down and he'll start tickling them, almost merciless. Like he'll hold their arm up. It drives me crazy because I know how that would feel. And just dig in their arm, you know. And Hayden used to just get, it would just drive him crazy. He'd be like, Dad, stop. No compromise. You just, you know, just make him lay there and just take it. Just, no, it's true. How many have done that to your kids? You just tickle them till they can't stand it, till they can't breathe. They can't breathe. It's like, what are you doing? You make them do this thing. And it's like, it's so merciless. It's not fair, right? How many have ever had a dog in your house that you kind of put up with? We had this dog named Tinkerbell. Yes, her name says it all. Tinkerbell. I couldn't stand that dog. She was one of those little Taco Bell dogs. What's that? Yeah, but it's that black one that with the funny face, the black and the brown. There's a specific kind. And what is it? Whatever it is, I don't know. Anyway, she was as annoying as all get out. I couldn't stand that dog. And we were going through some things in our life at the time, and God said to me, he said, get rid of everything in your house that doesn't bring peace, minus your husband and your kids. Omitting your husband and your kids. And the dog was the first thing to go. I couldn't stand it anymore. I had a friend, she said, give him to me, I'll place him somewhere. And I'm just going to tell you, my house was peaceful after that dog left. I think a demon was in that dog trying to come into my house to bring me unrest, stealing my peace. But for a while, we compromised. We put up with it. How many put up with dogs? Sorry. You put up with some dogs. Then a hunter wanted a dog. We go to rescue this little weenie. What is it with weenie dogs? I don't know. This dog, they wouldn't let us pick it up. It was a what do you call it when you... Rescue dog. And they said, oh, this is a cute little dog, you know, but they wouldn't let us hold it. We paid for it. We pick it up. It's missing a leg. It's missing a leg. Total compromise. We did not get all that we paid for. We get this dog home, and this dog, I'm telling you what, he peed everywhere. I promise you, everywhere he went, he tinkled. We gave him away to somebody because I'm like, I'm not having that in my house. My friend, she said, that dog, oh, they were all excited to get this dog, you know. But I think his name was Bo. Get this dog in their house. And she's like, I had to get rid of that dog. He peed everywhere. I said, sorry, I told you he was kind of like that. She's like, no, I couldn't handle it. But how much do we compromise? We put up with things just because. We put up with, you know, things in our bodies sometimes. How many have put up? You don't have to raise your hand. It's a rhetorical question. But you put up with stuff in your body. Things that you get up in the morning, you think, man, I got a headache. Man, the sinuses. Man, this. You know, I don't know if I can handle so much pain. And after a while, you just become frustrated, but you just put up with it. Right? I'm going to just talk to us tonight about no compromise. Because we're at a table right now where there should be no compromise in our life because of what Jesus has provided for us. No compromise. Can you say that? No compromise. Amen. So, Acts 16:16. I'm going to look at this story. Y'all know this is very familiar. But as we were on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl. This is Paul and Silas, who was possessed by a spirit of divination, claiming to foretell future events and to discover hidden knowledge, and she brought her owners much gain by her fortune-telling. She was bringing in a lot of money. She kept following Paul and the rest of us, shouting loudly, these men are the servants of the Most High, probably in a voice that was really annoying. These men are the servants of the Most High. They announced to you the way of salvation, and she did this for many days. Many days she followed them and was yelling like this. She kept following Paul and the rest of us, shouting this, and then I lost my spot. And then then Paul, being sorely annoyed, I can imagine, the word says sorely, he was probably very irritated, had lost his peace, sorely annoyed and worn out. Have you ever been sorely worn out, annoyed and worn out from something you've been putting up with? Tinkerbells, bows, the dogs, things that your kids do sometimes, you're like, kids wanting something, and they whine at you and whine at you and whine at you. I had one kid, he kept saying to me, you said I could have that. You said I could, but you said. And I'm like, just stop saying that. And after a while, it just wears you out. You give in because you said I could have it, you know. You just compromise. You let go of it. And so Paul, sorely annoyed and worn out, turned and he said to the spirit within her, I charge you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And it came out that very moment. But when her owners discovered that her hope of profit was gone, they caught hold of Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities in the forum where the trials were held. And when they had brought them before the magistrates, they declared, these fellows are Jews, and they're throwing our city into great confusion. So these guys got tired of her, finally cast out the devil, realizing that there was probably going to be some negative repercussions. You guys know this is what preceded them getting into jail. They were thrown into jail. But first of all, they were stripped. naked, butt naked, in the city, completely naked and beaten. They were not going to put up with any more compromise. Why are you laughing at me? It was true. I'm just reading the Bible. They were not alone. They were not alone on the island. They were not naked and alone. They were frustrated, got rid of the spirit out of this woman, and then they got arrested. They were stripped. They were beaten, and then they threw them into, I believe the scripture says that it was an inner prison, and probably the worst one possible. And they were chained. You guys know the rest of the story. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. So they were annoyed by the spirits and sorely worn out. They finally spoke to that spirit and got rid of it. They were stripped and naked, and their feet were fastened. But we know the story, when they started praising God, the chains were loosened, and they refused not to give up. They were not going to give up and pursue what was in their hearts. They were going to get rid of this spirit that was in this woman. There was no compromise in their life. They were tired of it. They were not going to let go of that. They were going to pursue what God told them to do. Sometimes it might cost us something to not compromise. Sometimes it's going to cost us these guys compromised. They didn't compromise, and they were beaten, and they were thrown in jail for a period of time. But look on the other side of what happened because they pursued and they weren't compromising, that the jailers were saved. They were set free, and their household, because they wouldn't compromise. They pursued what God told them to do. So have you ever been so frustrated with something enough that you give in? We all probably have. And I think that's what happens when we start dealing with things in our body. We sort of give up. We sort of let go of stuff. And that's what the devil wants exactly to do to us. He wants us to let go of our faith. He wants us to compromise and release what we know is true in the Word of God. And I love what Annette, her testimony on Sunday, how she was tired of it and grabbed a hold of it, and it was like, okay, that's mine. I'm going to take that by faith. And I think that's what it requires of us. We cannot compromise. We cannot get frustrated. We can't be so worn out by what's trying to steal from us, by what's trying to kill us, by what's trying to kill our faith, that we let go of the truth. Because that's what happens. We get frustrated. We get worn out, and we let go of it. So praise God, we have an answer. Amen. So have you been putting up with something long enough that you've compromised in the process? The devil wants you to compromise what you believe so you'll let go of faith. Some people will give anything to get out of pain because they're frustrated. They're tired. They've been putting up with it long enough, and there's a compromise there. They're like, yeah, I'm just going to back off of this because I'm not seeing the answer. But I'm here to tell you today, it is a no deal. We do not compromise. We don't make a deal with the devil. Amen? There's no compromise in our life. We're going to pursue what God has put inside of us, and we're going to hold on to what he's promised in his word. The greatest thing we have in our life is time and health. And I believe those are two of the main things that the enemy tries to steal from us. How many agree? Our time is valuable, but our health is so valuable. You know, if you don't have your health, you can't get out of bed. You can't function. You can't make money. You can't take care of your family. You can't move forward. And the enemy is after that. And so we need to be aware of those devices. We need to be aware that we need to take care of our bodies. We need to feed it correctly. We need to rest it correctly. Amen. Because we want to feed our spirits and take care of our spirits, but we are a three-part being. We've got to take care of all three parts. Amen? We got to take care of all three parts. I think it was Sandra that told me, she heard the other day, that you're to treat sleep like a job, that you have to. Your body requires so much sleep to recoup, and of course we know that at nighttime our cells are rejuvenating and things are happening in our sleep. But how many times we want to just keep going? I found myself staying up late at night thinking I'm going to miss out on something. How many do that? You're like, you're wanting to stay up till 1 a.m. thinking, oh, I don't want to miss out on something. Do you do that? But we need to be careful because, you know, we're not being obedient to the word by not resting our body and not allowing ourselves to recuperate. So it's important we do that. Okay. So Matthew, let's look at this example of compromise, or the lack of compromise. This is Jesus in Matthew 4:1-4. Are y'all with me? Okay. Jesus was led and guided by the Holy Spirit. We know this story, into the wilderness, into the desert. He was tempted, he was tested, he was tried by the devil, and he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights, and then later he was hungry, and the tempter came and said to him, "If you're God's son, command these stones to be made into bread." But he replied, "It's been written, man shall not live by bread alone, be held up or sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." And of course, we know the rest of the story. I'm not going to read it all. But when Jesus was presented with this temptation, it was a compromise. It was a compromise. And he said, "No, I'm not." He gave the enemy the word. What does the word say? He said, "No, I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to live by the word of God." And so that's what we do when we come, when we have thoughts that come, imaginations, vain imaginations, the word talks about the thoughts that try to come and cause us to detour off of the plan of God, off of what God has said about our lives. When those thoughts come to cause us to stray away, what do we give those thoughts? The word says we cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. What does that mean? It means anything that comes against us that's in contrary to the Word of God, what the Word of God says that we can have, what the Word of God says that we can do, what the Word of God says that is promised to us. Those are promises to us. And the enemy is trying to get us to come off of the promises and start compromising in our thinking. We compromise in our thinking, we start compromising in our speaking, and we compromise in the destination that God has for our lives. Amen. And so it's important that we stay focused, we stay determined, we live that intentional life, the intentional living. Amen. Because so many things, there's so many thoughts, so many things with social media and all the things that are coming at us all the time that would try to divert us from the plan of God. Amen. I was talking to somebody this morning that was dealing with some things and just frustrated and dealing with a lot of anxiety. I could hear it in their voice. And I said, "Wait a minute. Just take 5 minutes and focus on the Word of God and just pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Holy Ghost and release those things and get your peace back." It's not that you don't have peace. You've just allowed all these other things, kind of like a bottle. You've stuffed some other stuff on top, and your peace is there, underlying in there. But you've allowed these other things to be on top, and your focus is on these things. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to get focused on our problems, on the issues. And as soon as we do that, then we start compromising. How many have ever done that? You just find yourself, your mind is resting on the wrong thing, and after a while, you're like, "Wait a minute." You start making judgment calls on things you shouldn't be, and you start compromising in areas you shouldn't. I found that happening to me last week. I had some thoughts coming to me when I was traveling, and I was like, "Why this and why that?" And I was like, "Wait a minute, who am I? Why am I thinking this way? Where did that come from?" And the word just rose up inside of me. You know, it's the text that I live by: "In everything, give thanks, because this is the will of God. And it's our way of escape." And so I started giving thanks. I started thanking God for the different things that I was being compromised in my mind with. And as soon as I did that, the whole thing shifted. The whole idea changed in my mind. And I was like in a different place. So I want to encourage you with that, because the enemy's always trying to get us to compromise. He's always trying to get us to divert from the plan. He's always trying to get us to focus on the problem, on what somebody's doing wrong to us, what we know, what the enemy's doing wrong. And sometimes we can give more glory to the enemy than we do God, right? We'll focus on the problems and the issues more than we do on his word and the answer. Praise God. So Jesus could have turned the stones into bread. Pressure would have caused Jesus to compromise, but he didn't compromise. We know that. Let me move on to 1 Kings 11. And while you're turning to that, 1 Kings 11, 1. Let me just say this. If you compromise a little, the enemy can get you to compromise a little. He can get you to compromise a lot. One open door is all open doors to the enemy, as we know. And so it's important that we stay the course and stay steady with what God's got in our hearts. So 1 Kings 11, 1 through 4, this is about Solomon. King Solomon, he defiantly, I like how the Amplified puts it in there, defiantly loved many foreign women. He defiantly loved. Now, I did these notes earlier, and I was kind of meditating on this before I came, and I thought, wasn't he supposed to be the wisest man? Okay. And, you know, I know I'm not coming against women, but I'm sure it's hard to have more than one, more than two. Is that our kids screaming? They're screaming about Solomon being fine. No. So he loved many foreign women, the daughter of Pharaoh, women of, and I'm not going to name off all of them. There were of the very nations of whom the Lord said to the Israelites, you shall not mingle. He mingled with the enemy. He was told not to. He mingled with them, for surely they will turn you away. This is why. They will turn your heart away. For surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Yet Solomon, he clung to these that he loved. He had how many wives? 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart from God. Well, first of all, that's too many. He was a busy man. I don't know how he kept them all happy. But, you know, I'm thinking if he was supposed to be the wisest man, he wasn't very wise. So then he comes together with these women who are serving other gods, and then it diverts his heart. He compromised big time, wouldn't you say? He compromised in a big way. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect, complete and whole, and with the Lord and his God, and as was the heart of David, his father. And so Solomon, you know, here he is, filthy rich. He's burning, he's doing sacrifices in big ways, but it's not doing him any good because his heart is turned against his God. He compromised, he disobeyed God, and he compromised big in his life. And so we can see the danger in compromise in his life. Amen. Praise God. So we can learn from this. We can learn the importance of being consistent with not compromising and consistent with obeying God and everything that he's called us to do. He quit praying. He quit worshiping. He quit seeking God. And little by little, there was a compromise in his life. And we can see that, how important it is in our lives. If we slowly quit praying, slowly quit reading the word, slowly quit congregating and coming together, how quickly we are compromising and allowing the enemy to come in, right? And we don't recognize it at first. It comes in slowly and slyly, but eventually it's an open door to the enemy. And so it's important that we follow after the plan of God. Amen. And we don't allow compromise. But the good news is we can get it back. We can come right back to him. Thank God for his forgiveness. So we do that through persistence, with keeping the enemy out of our life by moving towards the plan of God for our lives. Praise God. There is harassing spirits that will push you to compromise your life. I remember my mom used to say, pressure is not of God. And when you are being pressured to do something in the world, or feeling pressured to make somebody else happy, and you're not following after your heart or the plan of God for your life, that pressure is a harassing spirit and is not from God, and it's pushing you out of the plan of God. It's pushing you away from what God has in store for your life. Amen. Let's look at, so we're going to refuse to give in to compromise. Amen. Numbers 20, 8 through 12. And this is Moses, an example that Moses, I'm going to put my glasses on. Okay, so God tells Moses, take the rod and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to give forth its water. Isn't it interesting? He said, tell the rock, and you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock, so you shall give the congregation and their livestock drink. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded, and Moses and Aaron assembled the congregation before the rock, and Moses said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in and rely on and cling to me to sanctify me in the eyes of the Israelites, you therefore shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So a few things here about this story that kind of came to me. He gave in to doubt and unbelief. First of all, he compromised because he didn't believe in what was on the inside of him. He wanted to rely on what had worked before. He wanted to rely on the arm of the flesh instead of the voice, the authority that was in his voice. God told him to speak to the rock, and he wanted to lean on the arm that he had used before that had worked for him before. Now, I see this as God is ready to promote him and bring him into a growth process. Like, trust me, let's do this differently this time. Let's do something else. And I want you to use your voice. How is it that we apply the word of God? I mean, I know this is Old Testament, but we use our tongue, right? It's the hyssop. We use the tongue to apply the word to our lives. Now, it's our words are life and death. And I see that God was trying to get Moses to step out of relying on what he already knew. It was a comfort place. We can get comfortable. We can get comfortable even with the things of the Spirit. If we've been operating in a place in the Spirit, we can get really kind of, I want to say, lazy almost, and we compromise God moving us forward. There's some things that God's wanting to do in this church. He's wanting to move us forward. He's wanting to mature us. He's wanting to get us to step forward in some things, and we're wanting to just kind of hang back in some areas where we're just comfortable. Now, let me use the rod, because the rod worked with the snake. The rod worked when I went and saw, you know, Pharaoh. The rod's worked many times. I'm just going to use the rod. And God said, no, I want you to use your tongue. I want you to speak to it. And so he disobeyed, and he was not able to go into the promised land. It was because he disobeyed God. You see what I'm saying? So he compromised because he didn't believe in what was inside of him. He felt he had to lean on what worked for him before, the rod. He refused to leave his staff. He compromised. He was under pressure and frustration. How many times when we're under pressure and frustration do we allow compromise to come in? When we're under frustration, we make decisions out of a place of frustration, maybe out of a place of offense, and it gets us out of the plan and the will of God. We start analyzing, we start thinking, oh, it should be, I think that's what Moses did. Nah, I'm going to do it this way because this is what worked for me. And we get in that comfort zone. And God, I've said it before, God's more concerned about our calling than our comfort. He wants us to get outside of that place of comfort, and he wants to stretch us. He wants to grow us up a little bit. And we're just holding back because we like this comfortable place. We like this place where, you know, it's familiar. I like my familiar stuff. I like my familiar people. I like what I'm used to. We're creatures of comfort, you know? But God's trying to take us out of that place. He's trying to reshape. He's trying to remold. He's trying to get us to say, you know what? What else is God wanting to do with me? What else is he wanting to take me to? Where else is he wanting to use me? You know, our kids are getting ready to go to Italy, and it's all unknown to them. They don't know. They've never been there. They don't know what to expect. We don't know exactly what to expect. We've been talking to Ivan, the pastor who's leading this, and man, he's got a heart for young people. He's been doing this for how many years now? Many, many years. And he's just excited. And God always, always does an amazing work with kids. And I'm thinking, this is an opportunity for them to not compromise. This is an opportunity for them to gird themselves up and be ready for what God's getting ready to do. Because guess what? Our kids are going to come back changed. I believe there's going to be a total, total transformation in them. You know why? Because they're stepping out of their comfort zone. It's fun to go to Italy, yeah, but they don't know what they're getting ready to face when they get there. They're getting ready to have to stretch some things because they're going to have to talk to people about Jesus. That's going to be a little uncomfortable. That's going to be a little stretching for them. But you know what? It's an area where it's going to be good for them because there's no compromise. They're going to have to push forward. And the thing about compromise is it allows us to stay in that same place, that stagnant place, and even maybe kind of go backwards. If we're in that place where we're saying, you know what, I'm not going to be moved by frustration. I'm not going to be moved by offense. I'm not going to be moved by anything that I'm thinking might be wrong. I want to flow with where the Holy Ghost is taking me. So if God tells me to speak to something instead of relying on the arm of the flesh, I can do this easy. I'm going to throw my husband under the bus a little bit. he'll say things sometimes to me like, this is easy for me. I know how to do this. When you mow the grass, it's easy because you've done it. It's easy. I used to have a lawn care business. He can do it in his sleep. I'll give myself as an example. I used to do nails. I was a nail tech. I can do nails in my sleep. I know how to, I can do my left. I can do my right. It's just something I've done for 17 years. I know how to do it. It's easy for me. But if someone were to tell me I need to do like nail art or something like that, that would take me out of my comfort zone. I wouldn't know what I was doing, and I would be afraid. I would be like, no, I'm in a place of compromise here because I don't know how to do this. Sometimes God will take us in a place, and that's kind of a goofy example, but he'll take us in a place spiritually where he's wanting us to step out. Maybe he's wanting us to pray longer, pray in the spirit more. Maybe he's wanting us to fast. Maybe he's wanting us to, do some things that might cause our flesh to have to sacrifice a little bit. Maybe we're to give more. Maybe we need to give to the Italy trip more. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out. Maybe there's areas in your life that he's wanting you to stretch, and you're just hanging on to the past saying, no, this is what I'm used to. Or, we're getting older. We're thinking, well, I don't have much time left. This is my comfort zone. I'm just going to do what I know to do. But I don't care how much time you have left. God is always growing you. He's always creating. He's always wanting to move you forward. He's always wanting to do something new in you. He always is wanting to change. For me, when the word says, as I behold him, I'm changed in his image, that means it's an ever-changing process. And if I am bucking and resistant to change in any shape or form in my life, then I'm bucking him. Because he's always wanting to bring change. There's always a shift going on. There's always shifting going on in the winds of the Spirit. And there should be a us hooking up with what the direction that he's wanting to take us and saying, you know what? I don't want to compromise. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to go where he wants me to go. I want to be what he's called me to be. And if I'm stuck where I think I need to be, then I'll never be what he's called me to be. I might fulfill some of the plan, but I don't know about you, but I want to fulfill all the plan. Amen. I want to get it all and then some. Praise God. Is this speaking to somebody? The other thing that I saw was God was trying to get Moses to rely on his voice of authority instead of the arm of the flesh. God was trying to bring growth to Moses. It's the growth process that he didn't have faith for because he wanted to lean on what was comfortable. He didn't have faith for the growth process. He had faith in what was comfortable. And that's where compromise comes in. Comfortable can cause us to be compromising in areas that God's wanting to change us and grow us up spiritually, physically. Y'all know my story. 2 years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to change some things intentionally. Physically found out I had some things going on that weren't healthy, weren't good. I was close to being a diabetic. My cholesterol level was a stroke level. And God said, I want you to intentionally get that weight off. I had 60 pounds to get off. And so intentionally, and I'm not glorifying me, I'm telling you, this has been a process for me because it's not easy. You might have tools to get things done. There's tools in the world to help you. But the tools in themselves are not the end all because you have to be committed to doing what God's called you to do, spirit, soul, body, to have change. And if I go back to the old habits and the old ways, you betcha some things are going to come back on me, right? And so when you lose weight, you lose weights that have been attached to you because of emotional issues, because of sin, because of disbelief, because of dishonor, all the things that you walk through in your life, things come on you. And this may not mean a physical weight for people, but there are emotional and spiritual weights that attach themselves to you because of what you've walked through in these last years. And it's not God's best, it's compromise. And in the end, I want to live a long and healthy life because I don't want my kids to have to take care of me, right? But I also want to fulfill the plan of God for my life. And if I'm not healthy, I can't fulfill what he's got me to do. I need to keep running my race. And if I have weights on me, emotional weights will weigh you down just as fast and as quick as physical weights will. Because if you're depressed, if you're anxious, if you're frustrated, if you're offended, if there's things that you're carrying around, you know, religious things that, you know, hurts, church hurts, different things, all those things will weigh people down and keep them from the plan of God. I see and hear so many things on social media, people talking about, oh, this church did this to me. And it's like we need to walk in forgiveness and move on. Now, I know there are changes and there are seasons and there are times when God takes us out of one place and into another. And thank God, because he's growing us up. He's giving us opportunities for more. But we can't allow those compromises to keep us stuck. And I know a lot of folks that are stuck. They're not even attending church. They're not even being a part of a body because they're stuck in their hurt. They're stuck in that weight of what happened in their life before. And so I want to just encourage us. We just have another minute or two. Just encourage us tonight to not have compromise in your life. Have that attitude in your life, like stepping in on that island on alone, that show, that you have been given an opportunity of a lifetime. Life is very short. It's very quick. The word says that it's like a vapor. You know, just shh, and that's it. Let's make the most of it. Let's do the most. Let's run our race. Let's obtain everything that God has for us in this lifetime. Amen. Let's be a blessing. Let's not just live in and to ourselves, just for us, me, myself, and I, my family. Let's not focus on it's just about my ministry. No, it's not just about my ministry. It's not just about my kids or my husband. It's about people. The reason why we're called is for people. Paul said it, I die daily. If I'm focused on my ministry, then I'm not dying daily. I'm focused on me, myself, and I. And so we've got to focus on that. He learned to be abased. He learned to abound. He learned to be up and he learned to be down. He learned to know what to do in those times. There was no compromise in his life. Even though he was abandoned, shipwrecked, beaten, all the things, he learned how to bring glory to God. Amen. And there was no compromise in his life. Praise God. I hope this spoke to your hearts.